We're going to touch on some things over the next few weeks that I hope will be helpful to us all, including myself, and to see a return to the basics of personal worship. I want to read Psalm 95, one of my favorite psalms, and it speaks to this issue of personal worship. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. That's with a small g. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His, and He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if ye will, hear His voice. There should be a comma after will, as far as the phraseology there. Today, if ye will, do what? Hear His voice. Harden not your heart, as in the provocation, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath, that they should not enter into my rest. I want you to see the picture here as the Lord speaks through the psalmist of a people who had left the basics. Instead of following after God, instead of listening to the Word of God, they hardened their hearts toward the truth and therefore invited the judgment of God in their lives. And what were the basics? What were the things that they had hardened their hearts toward? It was the worship of God on a personal level. Over and over again, we find this mentioned in this passage of Scripture. O come, let us what? Worship. He's calling Israel back to Himself. Come and let us worship. They had forgotten the basics of just ascribing worth. We spent a lot of time today in our Bible class on this word, worth-ship. It's two words put together. The scope of our understanding of God is that He has worth. I went around the room in two of my classes. What do you have and possess that's of worth? And I heard everything from iPhones to iPads to one of them was their cat. And they went down this whole long list of things. And I said, do you understand and realize, young people, these are all high school kids, do you understand and realize not one of you mentioned anything of worth in reality? All that stuff will be burned up and destroyed. Every bit of it. What's really worthy? It's God Almighty. Well, many of them said, well, that's the expected answer. We were talking about things having to do with this earlier. I said, that's not what I asked you. I said, what do you have that has worth? And you mentioned physical things. Cats, iPhones, iPads, rings, jewelry. One said silver. And I said, that's not a normal response from a high schooler. I said, do you have silver? Oh, yeah, I have a lump of silver at home. All right, I said, well, that certainly has some worth, maybe $22 or something like that. And, but those are all things that will perish. Not a one of them mentioned anything that really has worth. They only looked at it in terms of this earth. Now, I want you to listen. And we're going to close with this because I want you just to meditate on it. But an article by Dr. Phil Souter, and the title of his article is The Greatest Ministry of All. The Greatest Ministry of All. And I want you to listen to what he has to say. Children must be taught the importance of a daily walk with Jesus Christ and the importance of a daily worship experience. Now listen to what he's saying there. What he's doing is basically repeating what we see here in Psalm 95 here. O come, let us worship. Now, is he only talking to adults? Oh, he's talking to the entire nation of Israel that this is addressed to. That includes whom? Children. I can hear it now. Well, children can't worship God. Children are too young. I want to tell you something. Children will do a whole lot more if you expect more, if you teach more. But today we don't expect much. We don't demand much. We don't seek to include much. And we should. Oh, come, let us worship. Let us ascribe worth to our Creator. Can a child do that? Yes. And that's the point that he's making. Emphasizing these two daily practices at home and at school is vital to the spiritual development of your children. And then listen what else he has to say here. It may be dangerous to speak of one ministry as greater than all others, but a careful study of the Bible would cause one to see the great attention given to child rearing. Failure in parenting not only has great consequences for the children involved, but also for the family, for the church, and for the nation in general. And that's what we're witnessing today. All this chaos that we see in the world is a result of not rearing children. We're not rearing children anymore. We're raising animals, is basically what we're doing. Because they've been told ever since they were very little in the public school, saying, you're nothing more than an animal. That's all you are. At the present time, now listen, research data indicates that more than 80% of college-aged youth, particularly those attending secular colleges, no longer hold to absolutes, clear definitions of right and wrong, and personal accountability beyond mankind. It is difficult to believe that a major segment of the American population does not know these truths. In addition, data reveals that no more than 25% of American families meet the pattern for families set forth in the Bible. Now, he was quoting from a George Barna poll that was released recently. I went online and found some of these statistics to back up what he was saying. Now, listen to that last one. Data reveals that no more than 25% of American families meet the pattern for families set forth in the Bible. Listen, Christian school teacher and parent in a church, America doesn't look anything like it did for you when you were younger. It's not the same. To assume when you walk into a Christian school classroom or in a Sunday school classroom, and all these kids know everything about Jesus. No, they don't. Only 25% even come from a family that even looks like what the Bible describes as what a family's supposed to be. This cultural shift in the value formation of American youth has reshaped the structure of the typical family. This change has had a catastrophic impact on shaping the thinking of children as they enter adulthood. It is children who suffer, and the nation is seeing the consequence of these changes in the way youth are looking at life. The majority of our young people, ages 16 through 24, believe that socialism is the future of America. Well, why do they believe that? How could they believe in something that has failed? I mean, the facts are out there, but we don't have a facts-finding generation anymore. We don't want to know the truth. We want to feel what we call truth. And it feels good, socialism. Government taking care of us. Cradle to the grave. Well, that sounds good, doesn't it? It's an emotional response. And that carries over into spiritual realms. And don't you forget it. It's happening today in our churches where we have lost a knowledge of the basics. And what is the basic for the Christian? The basic is to ascribe worth to God. He must be worthy, and we have to show that to our children, and we're not. and our children have lost a fundamental understanding of what many of us grew up with. They've lost that today because we're not emphasizing that. And so as a result, God does not get the praise. Do you realize that God's whole purpose in the Trinity, His whole purpose is to bring glory to Himself and honor to His name. And in doing so, we benefit greatly. Bringing glory to myself and seeking to honor my name brings nothing to anybody. You understand that? If I seek in self-love to promote myself, not one of you benefits from that. But when God receives glory and honor, we all benefit from that. And what is America not benefiting? What is the average family not benefiting from? Because God is not receiving glory. He's not receiving true worship. We've redefined all those terms. And so in the introduction of this subject here, I hope that you'll take time to read through Psalm 95 several times over the next week. Would you read this passage over and over again? This is so rich with the truth of a nation, God calling a nation back and saying, you've forgotten, don't harden your hearts. What did God see? He saw a nation hardening its heart, not bringing worship to Him, but instead stealing that worship and turning it inward. And that never benefits a nation, a family, a church, or anyone. It always brings what? Judgment. It brings judgment. And so I hope and pray that as we go through this study, and I'm going to be emphasizing reverent demeanor, I'm going to be emphasizing the different words in this particular passage over the next month or so, because as we think about true thanksgiving as a people, we need to realize what we're doing. We're not just saying, Lord, thank you for a meal. Lord, thank you for my new iPad. Lord, thank you for this. Thank you for that. Those are all material things, and certainly we ought to thank the Lord for the blessings that He gives. But our job in thanksgiving and praise is ascribing worth to our God, bringing glory and honor to His name. And I'm afraid that we've lost that concept today. We show up for church, we go through the motions, we sing the songs, we listen to the Bible, and then we go home. Is that true worship? It's a state of the heart. It's a state of the heart. And our heart needs to be connected with our God. You know, the one who loved us and sent His only begotten Son and brought grace into this graceless world and mercy into a merciless world and comfort into a comfortless world. That all came with Jesus Christ. And who sent Him? The Father, who alone is worthy. Psalm 95 is a wake-up call to a generation that has forgotten to ascribe worth to God. And I hope we can benefit from that study. Father in heaven, I pray that you would challenge our hearts tonight. Lord, we're living in days where we've lost true meaning. True meaning is found only in Thee. But instead, we've given meaning to things that are empty and hollow, things that have no spiritual bearing at all. They're material things, or they're ideas that come from the world and not from Your Word. And we're the losers. Because, Lord, if you don't receive the glory and you don't receive the honor that's due Your holy and matchless name, You've told us that we will not benefit. We will not know Thy grace. We will not enjoy Thy mercy because we have no reason to. We don't deserve it. I pray, Father, that You would stir us up and that we might get back to the basics. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you and thank you.